Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. And to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. William Peters back with us, who was last on with our host Lisa Garr back in 2017. Founder of the Shared Crossing Project, director of its research initiative, and recently published a study on shared death experiences in the American Journal of Hospice and Palliative Medicine. Recognized as a global leader in the field of shared death studies, he has spent decades studying end-of-life experiences. A practicing grief and bereavement therapist, he holds degrees from Harvard's Graduate School of Education, UC Berkeley. He worked on end-of-life and is informed by his therapeutic work with individuals and family members, personal experiences with death and dying across cultures, and his family's very own end-of-life journeys. William, welcome to the program. Looking forward to talking with you tonight.
George, good to be here.
There's nothing like it. How did you get involved in end-of-grief therapy?
In terms of end-of-life grief therapy?
Yes.
You know, I was a psychotherapist by training for the last two decades, but increasingly these experiences I had earlier in my life, namely a near-death experience when I was 17 years old. It was a high-speed skiing accident, and I hit the ski slope extremely hard, crushed my spine, catapulted out of my body, saw my body on the ski slope as I moved away from it quickly. I'm very enamored. And, you know, you're very familiar, as is your audience, I'm sure, with near-death experiences. It was a classic NDE in the sense that, you know, I could see the Earth from a satellite-type view. I had a life review of everything I'd done in the previous 17 years of my life. And then, unlike most near-death experiencers, when I saw the light, although I was, you know, at peace and enthralled and feeling, you know, these sublime feelings, I did not want to die. I really was pleading with a God. I grew up Catholic, and I was just saying, I have to go back. I cannot, you know, leave. And I don't know, that's so unusual when I talk to other, you know, researchers and near-death experiences. They say, God, you just don't hear that very much. Most people are trying to kind of stay in that realm, and they're told it's not their time. For me, it wasn't my time either. But I was glad. So I came back, and I didn't think about that experience for a decade. I would have another NDE in a ICU in Oakland, California, had a blood imbalance, idiopathic thrombocytopenia, which is crashing platelets. This was a much, in a certain way, simpler NDE. I popped out of my body and was hovering above it in the ICU for, you know, I want to say between 2 and 4 hours. I was very comfortable. I was listening to nurses talk about the patients and just observing very peacefully life on the 10th floor of the ICU. And I really was a comfortable sense of an observing self, if you will, but I didn't have any relationship to my physical body. It wasn't until the doctor came in, the hematologist came in, and he tapped on my hand, and I said, and I didn't say anything. I had this question. I realized, oh, that's me down there, because he's calling out my name, and I could see myself, and I recognized that it was me. But I had a choice about whether I was going to answer him, and then my question was, which is all coming up in real time, is if I answer him, will he hear me? Will he hear me from up here, or will I go back into my body? I decided to answer him, and as I did, I could feel the energy come back into my physical body, my sensations, and as I opened my eyes, as I started to talk, and then I opened my eyes, I fully inhabited my body. But those experiences, those two near-death experiences, really shaped me profoundly. And so I resisted going into anything having to do with near-death experiences. At that time, I should say, I didn't even know that I'd had a near-death experience. I mean, if I knew it, I just kind of knew of it from afar, but I hadn't studied it, hadn't really looked at it. But then there was an experience where at my grandmother's death, where I was pretty sure I walked into the room a few days before she died, and she was having conversations with, you know, looked like she was having conversations with people in the room, but they weren't there. And I saw her glancing into the distance, and I started taking notes on what she was saying because I couldn't interrupt her, really, and I didn't try to interrupt her. But I sat there, and I got close, and she didn't even know I was there. So she was clearly involved with another state, another dimension. Took down all the notes of what she was saying, went back to my uncle, who's the elder in the family, and I compared the notes with him. He said, oh, my gosh, she was talking to people from 50, 60 years ago in her life. So there was something about that experience kind of compounded with the other ones that got me very interested in death and dying. I still wasn't talking about my experiences very much, but I did sign up to, well, I applied and then joined the Zen Hospice Project in San Francisco to work with the dying. And I was very fortunate to work in the public hospital setting of Zen Hospice because they had a couple settings. And this one was an open ward, 24-bed hospice, with primarily serving indigent people of San Francisco. Well, what that meant was I was able to be, like the other volunteers, we were all able to be close to the dying in a way that you don't typically get when you're working with most people because they have family members and such. And in this way, you had more access to them and could get closer to them and learn more about them, and as you can imagine, was at the bedside for a lot of deaths. The last one I'll share, which really solidified my trajectory, was I'm reading a story to Ron. We'll call him Ron, and he was a merchant marine, and so he loved adventure stories. Yeah. So I was reading him regularly Jack London stories, A Call of the Wild, and on this afternoon, I still remember it. It was sunny and peaceful, you know, the hospice in the afternoon. Most of the patients are sleeping, and here I am reading this story to him, and Ron has been unresponsive, prone, for days. So I'm not expecting much from him in terms of communication. But as I'm reading, I pop out of my body, and there I am, suspended above my body.
While you were reading to him.
When I'm reading, I'm just reading Jack London, Call of the Wild.
But while you're reading to him, you leave your body.
Exactly. While I'm reading to him, I pop out of my body. And I can't explain it except that when I was, first I was aware that I was looking down at my body, so I had that view from above, seeing the top of my head. I could actually even see, couldn't quite read the words, but I could see that I was reading. You know, Ron was unresponsive, laid out, but then all of a sudden I look to my right, and there's Ron. And Ron is right there.
Out of his body.
He's out of his body, too. All I can see is his face. And he's got a big smile and big open eyes as if to say, I mean, this is a telepathic communication. Check this out. This is where I've been. This is where I'm. As if he didn't so much say, I want to share this with you, but it was a little bit of smugness, like, check this out. And he was pleased that I was there with him, and we shared that. And I will say, I was comfortable there. And to go back to the second NDE I shared in the ICU, when I had the blood imbalance, it was very similar. I was in that state, just underneath the ceiling of the room. I never left that dimension, if you will. So it was what we call a co-out-of-body experience. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the out-of-body experience in the NDE. Well, in the SDE, we call it a co-out-of-body experience.
Is that unusual, the SDE?
The SDE, I mean, that's a great question. We don't know how common it is. But, you know, I'll tell you, when I was presenting, and as I am presenting my research on the SDE, one thing I hear all the time from researchers in, you know, primarily the NDE field are the dominant researchers and that would be closest to my field, is they would say, we know about these experiences, but we've never been able to gather up enough cases. And that's interesting. So that goes back to your first question, George, is, well, I'm an end-of-life therapist, grief and bereavement therapist. So I talk to a lot of families who are in grief and bereavement. And after a few sessions, they invariably would ask me, hey, I had this experience. I want to know, you know, basically, was I crazy, Doc? You know, did I lose my marbles at the time of the death of my loved one? Which is, that's a reasonable question because, you know, when you lose somebody, there's a good deal of upset and stress. But I started hearing it more and more, and then I realized that I had to explore this more deeply to kind of get at your question, how common is this? So I went on the circuit, you know, this kind of afterlife conference circuit, and, you know, IANS. I presented at IANS all the time. I even went to ADEC, the Association of Death Educators and Counselors, a number of other similar type conferences. And when I would give a talk afterwards, you know, a couple dozen people would come up to me, form a line, and say, I've basically never shared this with anybody, maybe my partner, but, you know, or best friend, but they didn't really know what to do with it. But now that you've put a label on it, named it, I am so relieved. Thank you, because I thought that maybe I'd made this up. So that doubting with these people ceased, and they got the affirmation that they were looking for in the research. So now, you know, just to cut to the chase here in terms of the research, at the time of the book, I and my research team had deeply analyzed 134 cases. Now we're up to 225, and we have no shortage of people who we can reach out to. I mean, all I have to do is give a talk. Like I would, there was, you know, you made reference to being on, you know, Lisa Gar's Coast to Coast show, a number, I guess, 2017. After that show alone, I think we had four dozen calls. And
that's
from all
amazing.
Over the world. I realize that your program is syndicated and offered all over. We got calls from, you know, like I said, literally Australia and other places. So,
and your website's still the same, sharedcrossing.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. That's amazing.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons for that. The cost of goods continue to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January of 2021, the cost of living is up almost 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and this is why so many Americans are turning to the Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from the Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to do that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tens of thousands of happy customers. You can count on Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
I'm going to tell you a story before the break, William, and I want you to kind of analyze this for me. I had a friend of 20 years who owned his own limo company in St. Louis. And, you know, I would use him as much as I can to help him out. He'd pick me up at the airport, and just a great guy. Back in 1996, when I was doing a local show in St. Louis called The Nighthawk, he predicted I'd be doing Coast to Coast. He said it then. Well, 5 years later, I started filling in, and then a couple years after that, I'm the full-time host. So he was right about that. Anyways, on New Year's Day at night, New Year's night, not New Year's Eve, but New Year's night, the day after, I'm at a little restaurant, and he calls me up and says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm at this place." And he said, "Do you mind if I come by?" And I said, "No, not at all." So he came by on New Year's night. And I have never seen him so depressed, so distraught, so out of it in all my life. Never, ever. And I kept telling him, his name was John. And I just said, "John, are you okay? What's wrong?" And he mumbled, and he said, I made a wrong turn. He just wasn't making any sense. Anyways, I told him, "Go home. You need to go home." Sunday, he sends me a text at noon. Now, he always, I mean always, responded to my texts. I sent him a text based on the one he sent me at noon. No response. No response. All night Sunday, no response. Monday, all day Monday, no response. Finally, I'm at a point where I'm going, "This is really weird." So I told a friend of mine, and he said, "I'm calling the police." And he calls the cops, and the cops say, "You're the seventh person to call us about this person. We think we're going to go to the house and see what's going on." So they did, and they found him dead in his bedroom. So I'm guessing he had died sometime Sunday when he never responded to me. But I felt something weird that night I was with him on New Year's night. What made me feel that way?
Well, what did you feel specifically when you say you felt something weird?
I just felt a cloud of something around him.
A cloud of something around him.
I can't say honestly that I felt death about him, but I felt something very ominous. It could have been death, but yeah. I didn't know if I felt that or not.
Well, you know, we do have a type of SDE that's called the sympathetic SDE, and the cases we highlight and it's clear for are this type of a case, and I talk about this case actually in my book. Matt, so this is Sarah. Sarah wakes up early on a Saturday morning, and she starts getting feverish and sweating, and then she starts vomiting, and she's, you know, nauseous and vomiting, and her husband and her kids are like, "Oh my God, what's going on with you?" And she goes, "I don't know. I've never felt this. It just came over me." And they say, "We're taking you to the ER." She goes, "Yeah, okay." And she gets ready to go to the ER, and then she starts feeling a little better. She goes, "You know, I don't feel as bad as I did." She stops sweating, you know, not vomiting anymore, but she goes, feels like, "Wow, I feel just like I was hit by a truck." And then, you know, she gets a little better. They don't go to the ER. She gets a call about, you know, an hour later, and it's her her sister. She goes, "I have bad news for you. Your favorite niece, we just learned she died of an accidental drug overdose about an hour and a half ago." And so we call this a sympathetic SDE because it seems like Sarah, what might have been, our hypothesis is, she was sharing in the transition or the experiences just at the time of death for her niece, in this case, Leela, who was dying. And so we have those. We also have a number of the cases with the drug overdoses. We have a few of those. I actually cite another one in my book. And the other one we cite in the research quite a bit is heart attacks. People will feel tightness in their chest, a shortness of breath, very similar to a heart attack, but then someone close to them will have it and will have died from it.
That's interesting, so, because they think he may have died of some kind of heart attack. They're not sure.
Yeah.
But I was feeling weird that whole night.
Yeah, and so, you know, the question would be, you know, you don't want to fill in the blank here. You don't want to, you know, but it may have been that some of those feelings of weirdness, dissociation, you didn't say dissociation, but maybe some of those feelings or thoughts of confusion, if indeed he was, you know, suffering from lack of oxygen, you might have been feeling some of the, you know, the precursors of his heart attack and eventual death. Yours is not a full-blown case for sure, George, but, you know, it's something to consider.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.